You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Nick Doherty.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Graham Storm wins a playoff against Rory McIlroy to take the BMW South African Open hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni.
I'm speechless. It's been incredible. It means the world to me to be in the winner's circle again. Today I didn't play my best golf, but I knew if I could just hang in there, I might get my chance, and I did.
We'll congratulate the Englishman live on the show in a few minutes' time. And we'll also hear from a vanquished Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, disappointing. You know, but saying that, Graham's played well all week, so. And it's a great story. I mean, going from thinking he's lost his card last year to, you know, winning first week back out. So really pleased for him. Yeah, I wish I could have done something more, but, you know, definitely something to build on in the weeks ahead.
We've a full review of the BMW South African Open hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni, and then we'll look ahead to the start of the Desert Swing, the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined by Nick Doherty. And Nick, what a tremendous scene in South Africa. The crowds on the final day were amazing.
Yeah, it's the Rory factor, isn't it? I think great field there. We obviously saw Ernie hosting, which is a fantastic thing for South African golf, their biggest player after Gary Player. And the big field turned up, a strong field, lots of world ranking points because of the nature of the tournament, stronger field there. It's one of the oldest championships in golf. I think it's the second oldest championship in golf behind the Open. So it's a great tournament. People want to have it on their CV, and it was a bit of a Cinderella story in the end, Rob.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. Was it a Cinderella story for Graham Storm? It had to be after the agony of the end of last season.
Yeah, it's going to be a stormy story from now on, isn't it? Because yeah. I think in golfing terms, it doesn't get any better than that. Just the nature of it, because he did lose his card. He finished that event in Portugal. He bogeyed the last hole. It was heartbreak. There were tears. Horrible feeling as someone who's lost their card before, but not in that. That's a dramatic way. It can't get any closer than that. 100 euros in it. You think it's all over. You think you're going back to the Q School. A horrible experience for any professional golfer. A livelihood to play for. Then Patrick Reed withdraws from Turkey, and on a technicality, then Graham moves back up into the qualifying spaces, doesn't have to go to the Q School, and he's got a card again for this year. Fourth place in a Leopard Creek, and then doing that this week, beating not just a good field, but beating the world number two in a playoff to win on the European Tour 2 months after thinking you'd lost your tour card. Doesn't get any better than that.
Now, he's not a different player than he was when he just missed his card. So do you think the break that he got, the amazing bit of fortune to keep him in the Race to Dubai, changed his mentality in some way?
I think it's a wake-up call, isn't it? When something that bad nearly happens, because it did nearly happen, and you get that second chance, isn't it? It was a second opportunity for him. I'm not saying he went away and did anything differently, but it would revive you. It would give you that sort of enthusiasm and luster to get back out there and want to make things happen and get off to a fast start. It was an opportunity he had, which he might not have got if it wasn't for Patrick Reed withdrawing. And then, of course, he's gone out and he's found some form. His game wasn't that bad. He's just, he plays to his own sort of mentality. His way that he approaches the sport is different to Rory. We saw that in the way they both played that golf course. Completely different ways or strategies for that.
You can only do what you can do, though.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, if you can't smash it on 600-yard par fives, then you've got to play a different way.
Exactly. But he was solid. And you always felt, in fact, ironically, when you saw that final hole, that playoff hole, it very much suited Graham Storm over Rory McIlroy, because you knew he was just going to plod it up the middle, knock it on the green, and 2-putt for pars. And it was a hole that was easy to make bogey on if you played it aggressively, which, of course, we know Rory, that's how he plays the game. So his strategy, the way he's done it this week, will hopefully carry Graham through and give him a second wind in his career. It's another opportunity. He's got that second win on tour now. Hopefully it'll lead to bigger and better things from going forward as well.
But going into the final round with a 3-shot lead, Jordan Smith, a new name to savour on the European Tour, and Rory McIlroy in that 3-ball. 3 shots sounds like it's quite comfortable, but really it's not.
Speaking from experience with a 3-shot lead, which I lost through 2 holes of the final round, 3 shots is nothing. You know, you make one bogey, they get off to a couple of birdies, and Rory did. He got off to a fast start as well. It's nothing. And you know, when you're going up with the calibre of a player of a Rory McIlroy, he's going to run at you on that last day. And Graham played solid, but it wasn't the birdies that we'd seen in the earlier rounds from him. He was just plodding along, and he hung in there all day. And even when he lost the lead to Rory, he just kept doing what he'd been doing all week long, and it was good enough. But he would have felt very nervous in that last round. I thought when watching it, he looked quite anxious at the start of it because there was a lot to play for. However, the fact of what he'd been through, I think, gave him a good perspective going into the final round. Having a chance to win again on the European Tour when 2 months ago you didn't know if you had a job out there, it makes you feel a bit better about things, doesn't it?
When you were watching the final round and sort of stealthily Rory just picked him off shot by shot, eventually with a few holes to go, Rory got in front. Did you think it was over then?
Until Rory actually hit it in that bunker,
yeah,
on 17.
Yeah.
And we all know that the way that Rory plays the game, he plays it aggressively. So he can steamroll the field. and win by 7 or 8 shots. And he's done that plenty. He's done it in major championships. But he plays aggressively, and occasionally it will bite him, and it did in this occasion. He blocked it a little right on 17, short-sided, got a bad break with the lie. And when Graham hit it on the green, Jordan Smith making the same mistake, missing it, short-sided in that bunker. You just thought, with that difficult last hole to come as well, it's not quite over yet for Graham. And sure enough, coming up the last, tied with Rory, it was anyone's game on a hole that really suited Graham Storm as well.
Do you think Rory finds it hard to play away from flags?
I think so. You know, I read a very interesting article about him, an in-depth one, where he spoke openly about his strategy and how he's tried to master Augusta, because Jack's...
That's exactly where I was going.
Hit it in the middle of the green and two-putt and you'll be fine. And of course, Rory's answer was, well, they were running at 10 when Jack won all his Masters, whereas now they run at 16. So maybe it's a slight exaggeration there. But the point is, it's a different way of playing. And he found it difficult because Mickelson advised him, you got to miss it in the right places. And I agree with Rory in this sense that how do you miss it in the right places? Because you're not trying to hit it somewhere. So if you hit a bad shot, actually your bad shot kind of goes where your bad shot goes.
Well, it's just like the 17th yesterday. If you're aiming for the middle of the green and trying to move it in towards the flag, to move it double that amount and find the bunker is pretty unlikely.
It is unlikely. And I think he likes to play aggressively. And I think because he's had success with it and because he has that capability to hit shots that not everybody in the world can do, he feels he has a right to play that way. And does it bite him sometimes? Yes, Rob, I agree with that. Sometimes he's probably lost tournaments based on the way he's played, but he's also won plenty as well.
Yes, he has. You know what's amazing about Rory? You think about him, you know, bombing the drive miles down the middle on the green, having a putt for a birdie. You don't realise how good he is at playing ridiculous escape shots. When that shot he hit when he was blocked out on the right and he snap-hooked a wedge around the corner towards the stands and onto the green, he can play the most amazing recovery shots. I mean, Seve did it because he did it all the time. Rory does it occasionally and he's still got that part of his game.
Yeah, we talk about how far he hits the ball and how well he drives it, but I think that's one of the parts of his game that's really come on the last few years. His escaping skills, his scrambling skills have really lifted. And, you know, we saw great demonstration of those skills from the trees, but also those bunker shots. The one on 17 where he didn't get it out with the first one from the bad lie, the next one, frightfully difficult, needed so much commitment, landed in the fringe to kill the speed, tuck it on, and he played a perfect shot. He did about 3 or 4 of those on that back nine from sand, and his short game skills, second to none.
Yeah, it was kind of David and Goliath in that final round, and again, it was David that won because Graham Storm took out the world number two, and I'm very pleased to say that Graham joins us on the line right now from Abu Dhabi. Graham, you must be feeling on top of the world.
I am. I'm on cloud nine. I'm absolutely buzzing. It's been an unbelievable experience. It just feels so surreal to me, to be honest.
So you knew going into the final round you're playing with, among others, the world number two, and if you were going to win, you were going to have to take him out. What was that like, your sort of preparation for round four, the final round?
Oh, I was really looking forward to it. I've never had the pleasure to play with Rory before, so to get the chance to go head-to-head with him in the final round was just a great experience, you know, and to get to play 21 holes with the world number two, I mean, that's never happened to me before either, so it was just awesome. The whole thing was just brilliant.
Stormy, it really looked like there was this camaraderie between the two of you. Did that help ease the nerves, the fact that you and Rory get on so well off the course as well?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we had a bit of banter on the golf course. We were talking about the football. I'm a big Liverpool fan. He's a big Man United fan like yourself. You know, it was great. And, you know, we talked about boxing and all sorts, just general conversation.
Sometimes when players play with Tiger Woods and they haven't spent that much time playing with him, when he was in his prime, they would make an effort not to watch him, not to listen to the strike and all that sort of stuff. Did you have a plan to deal with Rory?
Yeah, I just wanted to watch everything he did, to be perfectly honest. Why not watch him? He's absolutely world class, isn't he?
You know,
I mean, why wouldn't you? You're inside the ropes with arguably the best player in the world, and the first chance I've ever had to do it, and I just wanted to see it all for myself. I was never not going to look at him.
And Graham, you know, you looked in control, you looked very poised, you played your own game, didn't get wrapped up like Rob was just saying there in what Rory was doing, but it looked like there was a little time there with the putts. Obviously, you missed a couple of short ones in a row there, a key time in the back nine, you lost the lead to Rory. How are you feeling at the time then?
Yeah, I mean, I hit good putts. I putted fantastic all week. I just had to keep believing that I was putting well, continue to do what I was doing, go through the routine, stick to the strategy. When I went one behind, I'll be honest, with 4 to play, I thought that might be it. I might not have another chance because short par 5 coming up and with Rory's length, I thought maybe he might just blow me away a little bit. But I managed to hit a great shot into 15 to 10 feet, which put the pressure back on him. So I held my own, I stuck to my own strategy, and I was really pleased with where I dealt with everything.
I know we're talking about Rory here for the minute, but what was it like watching his tee shots come off that club head?
It was absolutely incredible. I mean, I've never seen a ball flight like it. I've never seen a ball go that far in my life before. It was just unbelievable. But also a big word to Jordan Smith. What a talent. Watch out for that boy. He's 24-year-old and what a great golfer he's going
to
be.
Graham, when you look at social media and the reaction to you winning, I think it was remarkable to see how many people are delighted for you. And a lot of that's down to what you've been through. How does it feel to have been where you were and in the end relying on Patrick Reed withdrawing from that tournament to help you get your card back? It looked like it was a tough time with what happened when you lost your card because of that bogey on the final hole in Portugal, to where you are now on top of the world, having beaten the second best player in the world.
Yeah, I mean, words just can't describe it, Nick. It's just been absolutely incredible. What happened to me in Portugal, you know, I never really want to go through again. I was very fortunate that I got my playing privileges back. You know, I've snuck in through the back door, but, you know, I went straight down to Leopard Creek. I finished fourth down there, and then obviously winning in the South African Open is just, it's a dream come true, and I'm totally elated with everything that's happened to me.
Did you send Patrick Reed a Christmas card?
No, no, I didn't. I tried to speak to him in Hong Kong, but I don't think he knows who I am, basically, so we didn't get the chance. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it's turned out in my favour at the end of the day, and I just want to grab it with both hands and move on and continue to try and get better and better at this game. You know, it's, you know, we all know how difficult it can be, and you know, I'm just striving for more now. And it's been 10 years since my last win, and it's been a difficult time over the last few years, and I've managed to come through it, so hopefully it won't take as long to win again.
But when you play well, Graham, you do play very well. Do you think you underrate yourself?
Yeah, I'm my biggest critic. I've always put the pressure on myself too much. You know, my demeanour on the golf course can sometimes be a bit down, but last week that was never going to happen. I just wanted to enjoy every minute of it, and I did. And that just goes to show that if I stay positive and enjoy every minute on the golf course, then I can play well and, you know, compete with some of the best players in the world.
Graham, what was harder? What you had to try and do up that final hole in Portugal or holding off Rory McIlroy yesterday to win on tour?
Oh, tough question. Pressure-wise, I would say what I had to try and do in Portugal. It was my livelihood on the line at the time. I didn't know where I was going to be after that, and it was really, really difficult to take and swallow with the bogey on 18. Getting to play off with Rory McIlroy was just, it's almost like a dream, isn't it? You know, you're playing against the best player in the world, and you can't, if you can't thrive off that, you just can't get up for anything. So it was really good. And like you say, he was, you know, very respectful, and we were complimenting each other all the way around, and it was just a great experience.
And Graham, you're holding two of the oldest trophies on the European Tour, the French and now the South African.
I am, yeah. And I also mentioned that obviously I won the British Amateur. So, you know, some of the oldest trophies in world golf. I obviously like an old trophy and a big trophy. They're all very, very heavy and the superb trophies to remember.
Well, looking forward, what can we look forward to now with Graham Storm and his game over the next few months?
Hopefully a nice couple of rounds in Abu Dhabi, first of all. We'll take each day as it comes. I'm just looking forward to getting back out there and just playing well and proving to everybody that it wasn't just a one-off, you know. I can continue to keep playing well and strive and go forward.
Graham, listen, we're all thrilled for you here on the Race to Dubai show. Fantastic effort. You took out the world number two. You're the BMW South African Open champion. And it looks very rosy going forward. Looking forward to your exploits over the coming months.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks very much.
Well done, mate. Well done.
Yeah, brilliant effort.
Thank you.
Great to hear, Graham. And obviously a tad groggy after a long journey on a plane and a couple of sherbets, perhaps, but well-deserved.
Oh, goodness me. Yeah. It was, if there was ever a time to celebrate, it was last night. So hopefully he had a great trip over there.
Things that he should reflect on then going forward.
How simple it was for him to do that. Yeah. Because it wasn't just the fact that he's won again. There is a sense of relief. And I think we'd be naive to not think that there's a little part of him that thinks there's no Q school this year but already because he's got that exemption, which is a lovely feeling.
Well, he
player,
did say, I'm looking forward to a couple of nice rounds. He didn't say finishing top 10 or something. He said, no, just make the cut.
But that will change. You know what it's like. By the time he gets out there and if he gets off to a nice start in Abu Dhabi as well, he'll start to think he's lifted his game. It's amazing. It's just 4 days of golf that's happened, but the way you view yourself as a player and your capability completely changes with a win, doesn't it?
It's everything. You've got to walk on that range and think that you're better than everyone else. You have to think that way, and hopefully he will because he's a very good player on his day. Graham Storm. Lots more to come from him, I'm sure. It was his second European Tour title with a gap of 9 years and 198 days between his win in South Africa and his first at the 2007 Alstom Open de France. It's his first season with two top four finishes since 2009. He moves to 133 in the official world golf rankings from 251st. So that's a big, big jump gains a European Tour exemption until the end of 2018. And Storm's victory extends England's record of being the only country to win on the European Tour in every year since the Tour's first season in 1972. Did you know that, Nick?
No, you probably won around then, didn't you?
Before 72, actually. My tournaments were before the European Tour proper started. But, you know, they still count. They're in the record book. Absolutely fine. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Graham does, because coming up, three brilliant events in the desert.
Yeah, and he's going to get good draws, isn't he, Rob, as well? We know when you win on tour, you do tend to get the TV groups for these events. And with the quality of the fields that we're going to see out in the Middle East, he's going to get all the perks, which should be good draws.
Yeah.
He's going to be feeling $1 million. His game's in great shape, and the world's Graham's oyster once again.
It certainly is. Now to Rory McIlroy. He had to deal with back pain throughout the week, but still almost won the event. Let's hear what the world number two thought about letting victory slip through his fingers.
It was disappointing. You know, I made that bogey on 17 after the tough lie, and then, you know, but saying that, Graham's played well all week, so, and it's a great story. I mean, going from thinking he's lost his card last year to, you know, winning first week back out, so really pleased for him. I wish I could have done something more, but, you know, definitely something to build on in the weeks ahead. Love to have got the win, but, you know, if I go to Abu Dhabi next week and win, I think I get back to number one, so it's a nice goal to have going into next week. I really want to make next week because there's so much to play for, but at the same time, there's so much to play for this season. I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to jeopardize long-term goals for short-term gains, so we'll see, but hopefully I'll be good to go.
Great attitude, Rory, and a warm feeling towards Graham Storm, even though it was to his cost what he achieved.
That's the Rory that we know and love. I mean, he stands for everything good about the game of golf, and great attitude to what happened, and also amazing to think that with that massive lead that Jason Day had in the world rankings, a win next week will catch him for Rory McIlroy, and that's testament to what he's done in recent months with that great finish to the Tour Championship, winning the FedEx Cup, and then playing so well again straight off the bat here. The big thing, I think, for Rory that he has going to Abu Dhabi, normally he's rusty getting to Abu Dhabi because there's no golf. He has that off-season, which of course all these top players choose to have through the winter time. He's got a tournament under his belt, blown the cobwebs away, so he'll be hitting the ground running in Abu Dhabi as long as he's fit.
And by the way, new Callaway clubs in his bag.
Yeah, brand new equipment for him, which is, it's a lovely place to be where you can use what you want to use, isn't it?
And amazing there, isn't it? That is a luxury. Yeah. But sometimes, you know, when you're with a company and they, because you know what they produce, so you've got to use something in their range. When you've got the choice of absolutely anything, that in itself can bring you problems.
Yeah, because you will try
you
everything. Yeah, and absolutely, and there's always things to try. But it looks like he's got himself fairly well sorted pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to be, like you say, Rob, to know that what you're using, exactly what you want to be using, is something that not every tour player gets the luxury of.
Well, let's wish Rory luck with his back and that he's okay to compete at the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship in just a few days' time. Now, in third place, one shot out the playoff was Road to Oman champion Jordan Smith, who had his first experience of a final round in contention to win on the European Tour.
It was insane. Nothing I've experienced in my life, and really enjoyed it out there. I loved it. Yeah, I'm very pleased. I just had one bad hole. Apart from that, it was really good. I'm over the moon with how this week's gone. Obviously, it would have been nice to have won, but I mean, I got myself in that position, and going ahead, it should all pay off eventually. This has helped for the future when I play in crowds like this again and hopefully in contention. I was feeling good with how I was playing, but yeah, it's exceeded all my expectations.
That's the first time I've seen that much of Jordan Smith, and he looked pretty good to me, I've got to say.
Yeah, he looks more than good to me. I think he could be in the calibre of a Matthew Fitzpatrick coming through. His quality of his play last year on the Challenge Tour, to win the rankings, to win twice out there, to be a winner, Rob, you know, it separates you from everybody else, knowing how to get across the line. The bit yesterday I thought was interesting is that he really looked, his body language, like, he really thought he could pull that off and win yesterday. I mean, he's been very respectful in what he said in his interview there, as he should be. You know, playing alongside Rory McIlroy so early in your career, ticking that box, going up against the best and one of the best in the world to try and win a tournament. That's nice to do in your fifth start on the European Tour. So he's done a lot already. He just looks like a guy with a big game, though, a lot of belief in himself. And I think this could be another superstar on the European Tour.
You have to believe in yourself to go out and win. Just because you do, it doesn't mean you will win. But you're right. I think he showed exactly the right attitude. And I think his future is very bright for him. What, 24 years of age with the whole European Tour to have a bash at? And what, you played the final round with the champion and with Rory McIlroy. It's all good for Jordan Smith. It certainly is. Nick, can we have the top 10 from the BMW South African Open hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni, please?
Bit of a logjam on seventh place, six-way tie for seventh, and that involved quite a few Sunshine Tour players as well up at the top of the leaderboard. But in seventh, Peter Uihlein, Joel Stalter, Eduardo Molinari. Good to see him there as well. All these guys on 13 under par. Mikko Kohonen, David Drysdale, he's playing some better golf again, and Alexander Bjork. They were all 13 under par, which was a fine total, but still five shy of the winning score. Trevor Fisher Jr. was in fifth place alongside fellow South African Thomas Aitken, both on 14 under par. Dean Burmester, very emotional at the end of his round yesterday as well. 15 under par, fourth place on his own, so a nice check. €50,000 just over for that South African golfer. Jordan Smith, we spoke about, a great start to his European Tour career. 17 under par, and it was just one shy of the playoff in the end, which of course included the world number two, Rory McIlroy, and he was defeated by Englishman Graham Storm.
Fancy Race to Dubai tips look like this. I went for Andy Sullivan, no stranger to success. He had his breakthrough in South Africa in the same event. Miscut. Jamie, that wild dog, went for Jordan Smith, who finished third. So that was a great tip from Jamie. However, he didn't get the W, even though he finished third. But he has got the upper hand from last week's tips, that's for sure. Can we have the top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings, Nick, please?
We certainly can. In 10th place, it's the Belgian, much tipped to be one of the top quality players on the European Tour, Thomas Dietrich. Tommy Fleetwood in 9th. Rory McIlroy, based on that performance in his opening event on the European Tour, in 8th. Richard Stearney, no surprise. South African players usually fare well at the start of the season with so much golf down there. He's 7th. Harold Varner the 3rd off his win down in Australia in 6th. Brandon Stone in 5th. Graham Storm with that win at the South African Open up to 4th. He's played 3 starts and €204,000. And then the top 3, Rafa Cabrera Bello, Andrew Doe in 2nd, and Sam Brazel, the winner in Hong Kong. He's in top spot at the moment.
And don't forget, the Fancy Race to Dubai game starts this week. Go online, europeantour.com, go onto the website and check out the Fantasy 3 to watch for tips and help for you picking your best players. And good luck with that as it runs throughout the season. And now some golfing news. Sad news this week about the death of John Jacobs, who was regarded as the founding father of the European Tour. Jacobs was also one of the most influential coaches in the history of the modern game. Chief Executive Keith Pelly led the tribute, saying, quite simply, without his vision and determination, the European Tour we know today wouldn't exist. He was an esteemed businessman and a world-renowned golf coach, but above all that, a true gentleman. There was no one like him, and he will be sadly missed. You can read many further tributes at europeantour.com. John Jacobs, a fantastic guy, and I've known him for years and years. You come across him, Nick?
I didn't, but obviously, you know, knowing the history of our tour and also what he did outside of the tour as well, his teaching principles were adhered to around the world, hugely popular in coaching terms as well.
Butch Harmon's, and I asked Butch, you know, who's the best coach? And he says, John Jacobs, every single time. He says, make no mistake, John Jacobs, the greatest golf coach ever. So nice words from Butch Harmon, and from everyone in the world of golf, he will be sadly missed. A real giant of the game, he really was. Now, Rory McIlroy has confirmed he'll play in the 2017 BMW PGA Championship, the first tournament in the European Tour's new Rolex series. It'll take place at a revamped Wentworth in May. I'm looking forward to see the course with the changes being made again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit more user-friendly for the professionals as well. I'm a member there, and the members over the last few years have found it very challenging. Those bunkers are deep enough to bury buses in, so there's going to be some alterations to the greens. The quality of the grass is going to be better, and all in all, we're going to see an improved quality of golf course at Wentworth. And to have someone like Rory McIlroy in the field, we have the very best. So great to see him back.
And by the time we get there, well, in fact, after the HSBC, if he wins there, he goes back to world number one. It might be the world's best player pitching up at the 2017 BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. Also, when we mention Rolex Series, must mention this. The HNA Open de France has also become part of the Rolex Series, which is creating quite a bit of noise now. Tell you what, if you want to play well for 1 month, go Rolex Series French, Rolex Series Irish, Rolex Series Scottish Open Championship. There's a month.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. They're great tournaments as they are, and to be honest, we've always had good fields at those anyway. Yep. But now they're going to also receive the prize funds because it feels like we needed to lift it, and it has been done. And it's going to be a just reward for the man who goes and beats a stellar field to win one of these tour events.
Yeah, well done to Keith Pelly. Well done to Rolex. And we're looking forward to 8 fantastic events as we get into the 2017 season. One further tournament line, the ISPS Handa World Super 6 in Perth in February will be tri-sanctioned by the European Tour, the Asian Tour, and the ISPS Handa PGA Tour of Australasia. And Justin Thomas set a new record for the lowest 72-hole score in PGA Tour history. That's not to par, but that's the number of shots he hit for the week as he claimed the Sony Open. His second win in as many weeks, the informed American finished 27 under par, 7 shots clear of Justin Rose to add to his success last time out at the SBS Tournament of Champions, both events being held in Hawaii. Thomas, who was a compatriot of Spieth, they came out the same mould, if you like. He's now having his day, isn't he?
Oh, he is indeed. And he played those opening two rounds, one of which, of course, was a 59. And it was alongside Jordan Spieth. He had to watch it firsthand. And golf's in great shape, isn't it, at the moment, with Jason and Jordan and Ricky and Rory. Well, I think we might be able to add Justin to that now as well, because the form he's had over these past couple of weeks, 49 under par in the past 2 weeks down in Hawaii, he's really made a signal of intent for this season. And he's also won, bear in mind, because the wraparound season, he won back down in the CIMB in Malaysia last year as well. So three wins so far for him in what is a very young season on the PGA Tour.
Justin second and Jordan Spieth finished third. So a lot of good form from a lot of the top players. This could be a bumper year, 2017. It really could be. And Jim Furyk has been named as the United States captain for the 2018 Ryder Cup at the Golf National, where Graham Storm won his first event. Well, 10 years ago, just about. The 46-year-old's vice-captain will be Davis Lovell, one of them, that's the first one, who led the US to a 17-11 victory over Europe last year. So Jim played in how many? 9 Ryder Cups and only won 2 of them. Let's hope that sort of form continues.
Yeah, that's good news, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very good news.
But yeah, I think he's a great choice, isn't he? For the, they seem to have a plan now. It, rather than just being all panic stations go, it feels like they had a sort of routine that they worked to last time around. They've started to gel well, their pod formation works. And I don't see Jim being the sort of guy who's going to come in with a big ego and want to just do it his own way. He's going to stick to what works, and I think he's going to be a good captain and a respectful one, more importantly.
Great guy, Jim Furyk. I've spent a bit of time with him at golf company days, if you like, and he gives time to everybody. He really is a genuine bloke, and must be the only guy in the world to have shot 59 and 58 on his tour.
Two of those scores in the below 60 are his, out of his 8 in total.
In his 40s. Yeah. You know, people give up the game in their 30s, and he's in his 40s shooting 59, 58. Remarkable player. And, you know, you look at Rory McIlroy, you think, well, I can't play that sort of golf because I can't shift it 350. But you could look at Jim Furyk as your role model and think, well, that's what you can achieve with less firepower. I think he's the go-to guy.
He is. And also, when you're looking at the world where technique is so important to so many these days, there's no way that you would go out there and try and teach Jim's action to anybody. But if you look at what it's produced over the years, it's certainly something that we'd like to copy, isn't it? So he's a great example to people who do it a different way and finding more than one way to win. And that's exactly what he will try and do at that Ryder Cup.
It doesn't matter what you do. All that counts is that you understand it. And he certainly understands his game. Father taught him the swing, and he's had it his whole life. And he'll be a great captain, I'm sure, when he gets to France in 2018. Top 10 in the world rankings, please.
Alex Noren in 10th position. In 9th, Patrick Reed. Justin Thomas with that win has moved up from 12th to 8th, so a lovely move these past couple of weeks for him. Adam Scott still in 7th. Hideki Matsuyama still in 6th. Jordan Spieth unmoved, even though he played well in Hawaii, in 5th place. And then the top 4, Henrik Stenson hanging in there in 4th. Dustin Johnson in 3rd. He'll be making a berth in Abu Dhabi. Rory McIlroy, in spite of being a runner-up, is still second, but he has closed the gap to within striking distance of Jason Day in Abu Dhabi. Jason Day is still the man to catch, though, in first place.
And speaking of Abu Dhabi, that's the next event on the European Tour, the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship, the first of 3 events in the Desert Swing. And it's got a bit of big time about it, hasn't it?
It certainly has. They've done a great job with that. I mean, probably, 5, 6 years ago, it was still all about Dubai when we played down in the Middle East. Now Abu Dhabi is the strongest of the events. They've had everybody there, all of the big players in golf. Jordan Spieth was there last year, of course. Ricky Fowler, that was that great group of Ricky, Rory and Jordan, wasn't it, last year?
Defending champion.
Yeah, all playing together. And it was superb. And it was brilliant golf from Ricky Fowler as well. It was his second win on the European Tour. And he'll be looking forward to going back down there and defending his title.
Dustin Johnson taking part as well. European fans would love to see him play, and they're going to get a chance.
Yeah, and of course, when you go down there, you get a lot of expats there who are American, and they will be supporting their own. Dustin will be someone that they'd be so excited to see, as will the Europeans, because we do see his firepower on the PGA Tour. But to see him go up against the best that we have to offer, well, we'll just see how he fares.
Rory McIlroy goes there in form because he's just lost in a playoff to Graham Storm, as we heard earlier in the show. Let's assume that the back holds out and the MRI scan is clear and he's free to go, even if he's got a bit of discomfort. There can't be anyone that you back other than him, I wouldn't have thought.
No, and his record speaks for that fact as well, Rob. You know, he's only been out the top 5. I think he's been there at least 9 times. He's only been outside the top 5 twice. So it shows you how consistently he has delivered around that golf course. Add to the fact he's got form. He's fresh, but he has got some golf under his belt already going to Abu Dhabi. He could be very difficult to beat.
Give us some of the other names that are taking part.
Some of the big players to look out for. Danny Willett is down there playing. Trevor Immelman is going to be playing some golf on the European Tour. He's down there. Then the ones that we look to, Ryder Cup players in Chris Wood, Matthew Fitzpatrick will be down there as well. Bernd Wiesberger is playing. Torbjörn Olesen, a winner in Turkey. Tyrrell Hatton had a great season last year. He'll be competing as well. So it's a really strong field as you go down. Andy Sullivan will be playing. Thomas Peters, who played so well at the Ryder Cup, but of course the American players, the likes of Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, will take a lot of the crowns. It's going to be a great opening week in the Middle East swing anyway, and will be difficult to win a tournament like that because the field is so strong.
Did you skip over Henrik Stenson's name?
I mentioned him earlier in the show.
So did you? That was good.
And he kind of owns that tournament, doesn't he? So maybe I'll let you give him the big send-up.
Well, you know, when you look at the names that are playing and the quality of the leading world players, it's really difficult to pick a winner.
Yeah, I think it is. If you look at form around that golf course, of course, Stenson has played well there before. Rory's played well there before. So you tend to be drawn towards those top two names. But I just got a feeling that someone like a Tyrrell Hatton, who's got a bit of form, a lot of confidence under his belt, he'll be looking for a fast start, he'll be ready to go. I think he could be not a dark horse because he's one of the best players on the European Tour now, but I think he could be tough to handle around there.
So when you give that big build-up Tyrrell Hatton, is that your tip for the week?
I'd say so, yeah. I'm going to go with Tyrrell on this one, yeah.
Yeah, and he won so well in Scotland last autumn. Tremendous win at St Andrews, it really was. What a place to win your first event. And you know what that feels like, Nick, because you've done it there as well. I'm going to counter that with a man who finished second last week. I can't look past... I mean, I would honestly, my heart would pick Rory every week. I think he's going to win every week. And obviously he doesn't because no one can do that. But he finished second in a playoff, lost, the third playoff hole, but making a bogey to Graham Storm. He's in form. He's got new equipment that seems to suit. And he likes the golf course. It's hard for me to go against Rory McIlroy, so I've got to go with him.
So I think you're guaranteeing yourself a top five finish, Rob.
Hopefully so, because I missed a cut. Andy Sullivan let me down last week, so I'm going with Rory this week against your Tyrrell Hatton. It should be a fantastic tournament, no doubt about that. That is it for now. Next week, we will review the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship and preview the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. That group of things is getting longer. It's the media world we live in. Don't forget, you can send a question to the show, tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Nick Doherty,
bye-bye,
and myself, Robert Lee, it's goodbye.